Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
He says, neither has it entered into the heart, the mind of any individual what God has prepared for them who love Him. Prepared place for prepared people. Graduation from this world of death into the world of life. That's Easter. You see, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed.
The truth is, the resurrection gives you victory over death. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his Easter message, Victory Over Death, and shares proven truth about what awaits you in the life to come thanks to the resurrection of Christ. Stay with us. The Winning Walk is starting in just a moment. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Victory Over Death, Part 2.
The Bible tells us because He lives, Jesus lives, guess what? You and I, we too will live beyond this life. You see, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, if you want to really grow up in your faith, or you're grappling with whether or not all this Christianity is real or legend or myth, or you shake your hands and say, who knows? Let me suggest that you read the story of Jesus, the biography of Jesus. Four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those four biographies slowly, maybe in a modern translation. And then I invite you to go to the Easter chapter in the Bible. Where's the Easter chapter? 1 Corinthians 15. It clearly explains all of the Easter message to you and to me, and it is magnificently written. Let me begin by saying the historical fact of Easter is the most examined event in all of history. Everything that has happened in the dawn of humanity, no event has been more scrutinized, questioned, criticized, looked at than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul knew it began right there in the beginning. So he states, I witnessed people who knew that Jesus was dead and God brought him back to life. 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus was on this earth in his resurrected body. And he appeared 13 different times. People who didn't believe in him, enemies, family who doubted him, his apostles. So we have all these events until finally the eyewitnesses, on one occasion, more than 500 men viewed him. And that means that women were not counted in that day. That means there are about 700 to 800 people there with older teenagers. And they knew he was crucified, he was dead, and they witnessed he is alive. And so Paul begins with this testimony, saying how he too had witnessed and testified to the resurrected Lord. So he gives eyewitness account, seems to give clear testimony that Jesus did indeed conquer the grave. But it's more than that. There's all the evidence that was there, the empty tomb, the grave cloths and things that were still in place, the rock that was rolled away, the testimony of the guards who were there, the testimony of the Jews who were astounded, the testimony of his friends, the testimony of, first of all, the genealogy of Jesus, the genealogy of Mary, the genealogy of Joseph, how they perfectly fit. And what about all those almost 100 prophecies written thousands of years before? They were perfectly fulfilled and completed and seen in the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus. So we see the evidence piles upon evidence. N.T. Wright, a scholar and theologian, looked at the resurrection from every angle. He has written a book of 800 pages just on the resurrection. Imagine that. I've never read all of it, but a little synopsis. He comes to the end, and he says the criticism he hears about thinking people, historians, died in the resurrection, he said they say that no religion, no Gnostic paganism, not even Judaism, ever even comprehend or thought about someone dead 3 days being resurrected. Why? Because they knew it was impossible. And N.T. Wright says, up to the resurrection of Jesus, certainly it had never happened. And he said, since the resurrection of Jesus, it has never happened again. And people think, he says, that seeks to disprove the resurrection. He said, is the very opposite. That is the point of the resurrection. The point of it, in that Jesus conquered the grave, was raised by the Father, it verifies his identity as to who he was, his promises, his claims, his future. It makes it all sealed and signed and real and valid and true truth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you for that testimony. That's the testimony of Easter. But we know a lot of people still doubted the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we see that he deals with this. And Paul clearly said, he said, if Jesus did not conquer the grave, everything about Christianity is phony, it's false, it's a lie, it has no relevance at all. And then he talks about those who did not believe, even with this overflowing evidence that it's true. To those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, let me tell you something about those individuals, and you may be one of those yourself. It's like, well, you could say driving a car without windows. How do you drive a car without windows? Well, if you step on the gas, you don't know what you're going to run into. If you turn left, you may go over a cliff. You turn right, you back up. Man, driving a car without windows would be filled with fear. And therefore, when someone thinks about death, and they're living a life without windows, no wonder there is great fear. Therefore, in the Western world, we try to say, you know, death is not real. We try to make it beautiful and gloss it over. We dress it up with limousines. We dress it up with music and flowers. And we have little sayings that we say, oh, she's never looked better. It looks like he could stand up and talk to you. And we try to get death out of the way. We try to make a friend of it or deny it. That's the world in which we live. It's interesting. 150 years ago, when people lived half as long as you and I live, death was a common thing. There's a funeral tomorrow. Somebody died yesterday. And death was a part of the conversation. Nobody thought anything about it. But in our generation, conversation, you can talk about sex, you can talk about intimate things, and it is all over the media, advertising, everything you can imagine. Sex is, it's just a part of our culture. But talk about death. Be with a group of friends, you begin to bring up death and the challenges of death, and they will push you to one side. So people who are living a life without windows, it's like driving a car without windows. And the future, death, is the most ferocious thing, the most frightening thing you can imagine. And if you have problems with death, and you go to a secular psychotherapist, and you say, you know, I need help, you know what the psychotherapist will tell you? He or she will tell you, death is natural. They may even quote that little verse in Ecclesiastes, a time to be born, a time to die. Death is a natural thing. It comes to everybody. And they try to use that to comfort you as you are afraid of death. Let me tell you something. You can't hide death. You can't make a friend of death. And I guarantee you, death is not a natural thing. There's no scientific evidence on the planet that death is natural. Let me tell you what death is. Death, as Paul tells us in this chapter, is an enemy. Is an enemy. It's an enemy of life. But the beautiful thing that we experience in Easter is that enemy has been defeated. That enemy on Easter died. Death died on Easter. An enemy that has been defeated, and we reign victoriously over it. That is a powerful truth of the celebration of Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And then we ask some questions. We go up and we wonder, well, these are questions we find in the scripture. After we die, what kind of body will we have? What will we look like? Will we know others? What will be our appearance? Paul answers it here beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. And with what body do they come, he asks. He said, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. And then he says, there are celestial bodies, that's heavenly bodies. And he says, there are terrestrial bodies, earthly bodies, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown, he says, in corruption, and it erupts and comes out of the ground and in incorruption. A body is sown mortal, it comes out with immortality. What's he teaching us? He says that Jesus Christ's death is the first fruits of all the fruits that will follow. In other words, Jesus, when he died, he was buried, he came back from the grave, and that resurrection body is a prototype of the resurrection body you and I will have when we go to heaven, when we leave this earth where we've lived all of our life. And it's interesting how he develops this. He said, you take a seed and you put it in the ground and said, when it germinates and it grows, what comes out of the ground? Another seed? He said, oh, no. He said, that seed grows in the ground and it germinates and it comes out that which God had put in that seed. It may be a flower. It may be a tree. It may be a plant. And Paul said, this is the way with your body. He said, we take this terrestrial body, this human body we have, and it is buried. We die, and when it comes out, we will have a celestial body. That's the resurrection body. And we will be like Jesus was. Now, let me remember to explain something. Everything that is physical, that's this body. Our body is physical. The soul is everything that's you. It's your personality. It's your background. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's our experiences, our memory. It is love. It is all that is intangible about you. That is your soul. All that is tangible about you and about me, that is our body. And I can tell you something. This body is not equipped to live outside of time. Only the resurrection body are we equipped to live in all infinity and all of eternity. And what happens? Paul goes on to talk about a body of dust. That's this body. Then he goes on and talks about a heavenly body. That's our resurrection body. And he says, we're planted a body of dust. He said, though in Christ we are born again, we are raised again out of the dust, and then we have our resurrection body. That body is like the body of Jesus. Heaven is not going to be boring. Ladies and gentlemen, there won't be a boring second in heaven. In fact, there'll not even be any seconds in heaven. We leave this earth, we get beyond time. We live in eternity. Just think about it. What a wonderful gift our mind is. You know, I can stand here with my mind and I can go and walk down. I remember the streets of Paris, France in my mind. I can stand here and in my mind go back to the last high school basketball game I ever played. We had led the state championship and the state tournament all the way through, and they had scored a basket in the final seconds, and they were 1 point ahead. And we took the ball down the court. I got in the corner. I faked this way. I drove around my man, and I went up, and I was under the basket. Players understand. I didn't know whether to do a reverse layup or try to jump back and jump and score a crip shot on this side. I jumped back. The ball was spinning on the rim. If it went in, we won by 1 point. If it stayed out, we lost by 1 point. It is spinning, and the buzzer went off, and it dropped out. You know what? Maybe I'll get to go back somehow and replay that shot. You see, heaven is marvelous. You want to learn about art? I don't know a great deal about art. In heaven, we'll have time to explore all the beauty of art, the magnificence of beauty, to learn something about quantum physics. Who in the world knows much except those scholars about quantum physics? You see, in heaven, we'll be creative. In heaven, we'll grow. In heaven, maybe we'll be able to sing when we weren't able to sing here. We will know as we have been known. We'll have a resurrection body, the prototype of the body of Jesus, which knows no dimensions and has no barriers. And we'll have our soul. Now, my soul, my life is pretty scarred up. It also will be resurrection. It also will be made brand new. And we see the enemy is defeated. Death is dead. Why? Paul tells us. The wages of sin is death. Death came because of sin. And Paul says, death is defeated because sin has been eliminated. Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself, and sin is there no more. Therefore, Paul says, we can look at death and say, hey, death, where's your sting? Where's your pain? It's not there. Death, what about the grave? I just laugh at the grave. It's not there. In other words, Paul is looking at death. You know what he's saying? Yeah. He's laughing at death because the resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us victory over death. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your pain? It's eliminated because sin is dealt with, and we are in relationship with Jesus Christ now and for eternity. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In John 14, before his crucifixion, before his death, he was talking to his followers. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place for people that are prepared for him. In my Father's house are many places. Jesus says, I'm going ahead of you. Jesus went to heaven. He told his followers then. He's telling all of us now on this Easter. He said, I've gone ahead of you. I'm preparing a place for you. And I will come and get you. Those who he has a place for us, for those people who are prepared for that place. Let me say it as simply as I possibly humanly can. You know what death is like for those who are in Christ? Death is like birth. Birth is like death. Just think with me for a moment. If you were a baby in your mother's womb and you could think rationally, you would say, boy, this is life. I'm nourished. I'm warm. I feel love. And I can sleep when I want to sleep. I can move around when I can move around. In my world, this is a fabulous little world, the world of security in my mother's womb. It is everything to me. But you'd never seen light. You'd never breathed air. You'd never heard anything. But, hey, you can't beat it. This is my world. But then after about, 9 months or so, there's some rustling around, there's some movement, and there's some pain, and finally the day comes when there is pressure brought upon you, and you're pushed and pushed out, and you explode into a whole new world. You're born, and you're received by loving, caring hands who takes care of your every immediate need. And all of a sudden, you're in air. You know, you'd never been in air, but you didn't know it, but you had lungs to breathe. All of a sudden, there was light. You'd never seen light before you, but you had eyes to see. And then all of a sudden, there was sound, there were voices, and there may have been music, and you didn't know it, but you had ears to hear. You see, you didn't know it, but God had prepared a place for you in this brand new world that was far beyond any world you could have imagined or dreamed of in your mother's womb. You see, I think birth is a lot like death. If God so prepared you to live in this world you experienced when you left your mother's womb, he so prepared you in ways that you couldn't even know, doesn't it seem logical that he would prepare you who are in Christ for heaven, for the world that is to come? Paul says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. He says, neither has it entered into the heart, the mind of any individual what God has prepared for them who love him. Prepared place for prepared people. Graduation from this world of death into the world of life. That's Easter. You see, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Come back Monday as Dr. Young encourages you to find hope for today in the fact that Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven. Have a great weekend.